Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome this afternoon. So shall we just start with a prayer? As we gather in the quietness here, help us to shut out the hustle and bustle of the outside world and devote our time to worship you, Lord. Be with us today as we think about your words and pray for our time together. Amen.
Amen.
And now John is going to read to us from Galatians.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other.
Thank you. Well, as you can see, we have a bowl of fruit here. It's not just in case you get peckish this afternoon. Fruit is something that most of us enjoy. Just looking at this fruit, we know it grows on trees. It is connected to the tree and gets the nourishment it needs to grow. Similarly, when we as Christians are connected to God through the Holy Spirit, we are given what we need to grow as Christians and to bear spiritual fruit. As we develop a relationship with God through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we may notice a change in attitude towards all that we do, think, or say. This is not always an easy journey, but it is not a lonely one. We are given the Holy Spirit to help us to develop into the person God would like us to be. So this afternoon, we are going to try to unpack this a bit. Not an easy task, I think. In our reading, Paul gives us a list of qualities of life. Perhaps if we think of those as Christian character, it might help us to understand a little more. Character doesn't play such a big part in life as it used to. We are so often inclined to judge people by performance and success. Fruit takes time to ripen, and character takes time, a lifetime, to develop. In 2013, a group was formed called the Langham Partnership, whose founder was a man called John Stott. The main objective was to produce a series of Bible studies on the fruits of the Spirit. It became known that John Stott prayed every morning the following prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that this day I may live in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, I pray that this day I may take up my cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, I pray that this day you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So firstly, we think about love. It's probably not a surprise that Paul puts that first. How do we know if a tree is alive? In the spring, you look for buds, for green leaves and shoots, and then the fruit. The fruit is the evidence that all is well. Similarly, in a Christian life, we look for love in action across all of our differences and barriers. Real, practical proof that we care, help, encourage and support one another, and maybe go that extra mile for someone in need. One of the most well-known verses in the Bible is 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. What a vital fruit this kind of love is. It is not surprising that it is the first and foremost and so important in our lives, but sometimes can be very hard to live up to. Love, joy, and peace. These three are like triplets. We often think of them together. Jesus links them very closely in his farewell talks with the disciples. So following on from love, we consider joy and peace in the fruit of the Spirit. These words are not just describing a cheerful and contented state of mind, but something profound and important in the life of a Christian. Firstly, let us think of joy. Think of things that might bring a sparkle to your eyes. Make your heart leap a little and bring a wide smile to your face. Maybe seeing family or friends after a while apart. Maybe an unexpected gift or thoughtfulness. Maybe an invitation to something special and close to your heart. Hopefully, something that happens in church can give a moment of pure joy. Sometimes that might be music, hymn words, a reading, or someone's words to us. I hope that having a faith in God and being able to enjoy God's creation can give us all moments of joy. There are times in life when it is very difficult to experience joy. Maybe through illness and unhappy times and events. So we need to be sensitive to others and surround them with love when we are keen to share our joyfulness, and pray that joy will return to them in time. Paul gives the word peace a lot of time in his letters. It is clearly a very important message for him to share. Perhaps he has in mind the peace that God gives. Peace with God can mean peace of heart and a clear conscience, a freedom from guilt and worry, an absence of fear. Peace, however, can mean many things. We wish for world peace, for a peaceful life. Some things are much harder to achieve, and we may feel that these things are out of our control. But when we put our trust in God, we have a right relationship with God, which gives us peace and helps us to deal with the worrying events and situations in the world at this time. And John will now read from Psalm 62.
Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge.
Thank you. From this psalm, the words "God is my rock and salvation" are the words to carry home with us. So now we think of patience and kindness. The first three items in the fruit basket seem very spiritual, but now we come down to earth a bit. How do we cope with the hustle and bustle of life? Do we have the ability to cope with the fusses and foibles of others in everyday life? Do we lose patience in slow queues, or if things are not going our way? Of course, we are, after all, human. Maybe you wouldn't think of the God in the Old Testament as a patient God. There are certainly examples of God's anger against sin. But I think a better way is to consider some words from Psalm 103. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. The way we live our lives today makes patience a sometimes difficult ideal to follow. Life can be very immediate. With the use of the internet, emails and messaging, and makes counting to 10 before a reply rather challenging. I came across this little saying recently. To dwell in love with saints above, oh, that would be glory. But to dwell below with saints we know, ah, that's a different story. So with prayer and care for others, and bearing in mind Paul's statement, love is patient, love is kind, we try to develop a patient attitude, which brings us to kindness and goodness. I think patience is a tough fruit of the Spirit, but kindness and goodness are more tender fruits. I think the essence of kindness is being thoughtful towards others. To be kind to others means to want to help and encourage them, to comfort them, to try to put myself in their shoes to discover what would be best for them. Kindness seems very close to what Jesus meant when he said that we should do for others what we would wish them to do for us. Kindness goes beyond duty and reward. You do what is kind for its own sake, and for the sake of the other person. In that sense, kindness is its own reward. Jesus showed many times how patient and kind he was. So many times he was interrupted when he was doing something else, such as teaching or talking. He responded to these interruptions, not with irritation and dismissal, but with kindness and warmth. How I wish I could always follow his example. Kindness and goodness have a lot in common. We may refer to someone doing something out of the goodness of their heart. What quality do we see in someone when we say that he or she is a good person? Maybe a key word would be integrity. People who in reality are what they seem to be. What you see is what you get. St. Paul puts goodness and kindness together, and of course they do have a lot in common. Most simply, we can depend on good people to be and to do what they promise to do. To do the right thing and to keep their word. As before, since this is part of the fruit of the Spirit of God, the source of all goodness is God Himself. Well done, good and faithful servant. That is one of the favourite sayings of Jesus that all of his followers loved to hear. As we love and serve Christ through our lives, we surely want to be faithful servants. And so we can be if we let this portion of fruit into our lives. Faithful people prove that they can be trusted for the long haul. You don't have to check up on them or worry about whether or not they will complete a task. Faithful people prove that they are routinely dependable in all sorts of ways and in all sorts of circumstances. Surely that is exactly the truth about God. And that is why faithfulness is the fruit of God's Spirit at work in us. The Psalms have a lot to say about faithfulness, and Psalm 36, verse 5 says, "Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies." So our fruit bowl is nearing an end. We look at another softer fruit, gentleness. Gentleness means being aware that others have feelings and being careful not to hurt those feelings or tread on their toes. We perhaps think of gentle Jesus, meek and mild. That doesn't mean that Jesus was a wimp or never raised his voice. On the other hand, Jesus could speak the truth in love and promise to bear our burdens for us. So as God is gentle and gracious to me, so would I like to be the same to others. Let me pray that as a forgiven sinner myself, I may welcome others into the fellowship of forgiveness. I would hope that that would mean having a gentle approach to all. Finally, self-control. That is perhaps a prickly fruit to deal with. Self-control is something that we learn as we grow. As we learn to grow in faith and love, we learn to discern what is right and wrong. Coming full circle in thinking of the fruits of the Spirit, we began with love, which directs our thoughts and actions outwardly towards others. We end with self-control, which is a quality which directs our thoughts and actions inwardly towards ourselves, for our own good and for the good of others. As we come to an end and think of the wonderful qualities of the fruit of the Spirit, Let us pray that, like John Stott at the beginning of our first talk, we should pray that each day we can be filled with the fruits of the Spirit of God.